as I open my message each and every week as our youth are moving into their sanctuary and time of worship. Grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be multiplied into you and your lives this day. If you would please take and turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1 and verses 6 through 12. Galatians chapter 1 and verses 6 through 12. We are in a two-part mini-series. This week is part 1, next week is part 2 on God's amazing grace. I have never got over the grace of our Lord in saving me. You may notice, or you may not notice, that when we come to the time of worship, that I am never over there reviewing my notes. I'm not looking around to see what's going on. I'm not doing any last-minute studying during the time of worship. I come here to worship a holy God. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to join in. And I tell you what, seeing these young people up here this morning helping lead worship, Ollie and Tyler and Linda, who's young in heart, I want you guys to know, just bless my heart to be able to worship this morning. Our praise team always does a wonderful job. Amen? If you have the Word of God, whether in digital or printed format, all over the sanctuary, please hold up your Bibles, please. Amen. Okay, there we go. Now we got 100% participation. Reading from the Word of God, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
This is a great apostle Paul preaching here. He had already passed through Galatia and taught them the true gospel. And now he receives word that the Judaizers, the legalists, had come behind him and were preaching a different gospel. So he sends the letter to the Galatians. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if it pleased men, if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I ask, Father, that you allow the teacher this morning to preach and teach the word of truth without the slightest possibility of error. Let my heart be in tune with your heart. Let the words that come from my lips be only your words in Jesus Christ for your people. Amen. I believe that all my heart that the greatest thing that I can ever preach on is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called to one task as Christians. Jesus gave us one job: to go unto all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When you walk out the door today, you will see a banner. We have that there every week. It says you are now entering your mission field, Living Hope Church. Excuse me. I believe with all my heart that God has placed Living Hope Church in a unique place to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know that within 2 miles... 2 miles of this spot right here live 94,000 people. Within 2 miles there are two Baptist churches. Three, actually, counting the first service that starts here, that is a Hispanic Baptist church. 94,000 people. How many people, therefore, are unchurched in this area? God has placed us here for a specific reason. I love the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I am infinitely glad that God has called me to this wondrous, joyous, terrifying task to share His message for salvation. You know, looking back, when I first began preaching, I thought, you know, there's nothing better than the gospel of Jesus Christ. A couple of years later, I thought, there's nothing even as good as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then I studied the Bible more, and I matured, and I thought to myself, there's nothing anywhere that can be compared to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as I've grown older, in excess of 30 years old, it's okay to go ahead and chuckle. I'm far older. Hopefully I'm far wiser. I've looked far and wide, and I can say there is nothing but the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the good news unto salvation. It is the good news whereby we can come and rejoice in our salvation. It's because of the gospel and we are saved. You can have a very young woman and a woman who is matured in her years stand side by side and proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ through their voices and song. It's why a young man can go forth and preach the gospel, and an old man can go forth and preach the gospel, and the gospel is the same unto salvation. There is nothing but the gospel. I have 4 points today. Follow along in your bulletin. You have a place there to write your notes. And the first point that we come to today about the gospel is that Satan fought it. Satan has fought the gospel. Look at verse 6 again. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Paul is astounded. He's astounded that they would turn away from the gospel. Did you know that 1 Peter, it is written there, that as the gospel is shared, that the angels look on in amazement. God's angels look on in amazement when the gospel is shared. From the one side, they look at it from the throne of heaven, and they say, they are amazed that the gospel could be shared, the good news could be shared to make a path for salvation to such sinful creatures as human beings. From the other side, they look at it as man receives gospel and rejects it, and the angels are astounded. What do you mean, no? How could you possibly look at the gospel message and say no? How can that be? Let me tell you something amazing. Look at verse 7. If you dare say amen. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. God is behind the gospel. Satan is behind the perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let make no mistake about it. The devil would rather pervert the gospel than deny the gospel. I'm going to say that again to make sure you got it. He would rather pervert it than deny it. Because if he can pervert it, then people will never seek the true gospel. They will think they have it. They will think that they have the true gospel. That's what Satan does. He gives something that sounds almost like the gospel. He's been doing it since the creation when he told Eve. Did God really say that? Satan perverts the gospel. And he twists it to where it sounds almost true. Why? Because every good lie has some element of truth in it. It uses the truth to support its perversion. Look at how emphatic Paul is in verse 8. Look at verse 8 again. See how strongly this is worded. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. That word accursed is anathema. It means let him be damned, consigned to eternal destruction. You know, it sounds almost unchristian, the words that we're reading there. It sounds like Paul is being unkind. Let them be damned. We read that and we think, wow, is this the great apostle Paul? The apostle of grace that has written this? You know, sometimes we just skim over the words and we miss the elements of what has been said there. Yes, it is. And he doubles down on verse 8. I'm going to give you a deep theological truth. Verse 9 follows verse 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. He doubles down on what he has said. To be damned by God means to be turned over to God for destruction. What does the book of Hebrews say? It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Eternal destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says that those that do not receive Christ are put away for eternal destruction. It does not say destroyed. It says destruction. Under eternal destruction. What does that mean? Cast into the lake of fire, certainly. Fire and brimstone, certainly. Fully aware that you've put yourself there, absolutely. But when the person has been there under this destruction in a body designed to not be consumed by the fire and brimstone, and the body that is designed to withstand that in agony for all of eternity, when they've been there for a trillion times a trillion times a trillion years, it is only the first point of the first dot of the first tick of the first second that they have faced to the eternity that stands before them. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, I come and I say this because anybody that knows me knows I'm a happy guy. And I'm a happy guy, why? Because I have received the gospel. And I have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. For people that may be in the sanctuary that never have, we're not trying to do this in any kind of trick whatsoever to frighten you into receiving Christ. That is not our goal. Our goal is to declare to you that the level of the sin, the impact of the sin, is not determined by what we think of that sin, but by the holiness and the majesty and of the character of the one who is sinned against. Therefore, if God is eternally love, if he is unlimited judgment, unlimited grace, unlimited holiness, unlimited righteousness, to sin against that infinity, to sin against that eternal nature of His means to either accept the glory of eternity or the anathema of eternity. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. So our goal here is that you receive Christ for the joy set before you because of the joy that was set before Him to die on the cross for our sins. I went right off my notes there. Now, to be damned by God, once again, means to be turned over to God for destruction. Talk about politically incorrect. If what I just said were to make it onto CNN or MSNBC or Fox News, there would be an outcry about how politically incorrect that is. God is not interested in politics. And all God's people said. Now, as Christians, we should take part in politics. Man, this year, huh? And all God's people said, here's what I want you to do. We never preach politics from the pulpit. We will not do that. You are to be involved in the political process. We are to pray for those in power. Romans 13 lays all of this out. So you take the candidates that are running, you hold up what they have done, not just what they say they're going to do, but what they have done in the past and what they say that they will do. Hold that up against the scripture, pray about it, and make a choice. You promise me that?
Amen.
Amen. Moving on. That's the last I'm going to say about politics this year. But let's clear up something right now. Paul says that this way is the only way. Because when it comes to God, there is only one right way. There are not two or three gospels. There is only one gospel, and it says that you must believe certain things. Please turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. It's just a few pages to your left. Once you're there, if you have a paper Bible, please say amen.
Amen.
You guys are good. Reading from the Word of God, 1 Corinthians, this is the gospel. You can write in your Bible. You can write in your heart. You can put the notes on your iPhone. You can put it in the front of your Bible. Back, tattoo this on your heart. If you're with me, say amen. If somebody says, what is the gospel? All you have to say is, go read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. It's laid out there. Let's read what Paul writes here. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. What's he talking about? The gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. In other words, you are saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Listen to this. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ came from heaven to earth to die for our sins based upon prophecy. And that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, that is the Apostle Peter, and then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Well, that'll help church attendance, right, if Jesus shows up? Guess what? Jesus does show up when our praise team sings. Amen?
Amen.
Of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. That's a biblical term for saying they died. After that, He was seen by James. James is the brother of Jesus. And then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. That is the gospel message right there. The truth of the gospel is of supreme importance. Back to today's text in Galatians chapter 1, if you would please. In verses 6 and 7, Paul is saying that what Satan is trying to do, what he's trying to do, sounds like the gospel. But it's not. It's a perversion. So point number one, Satan fought it. Now look at verse 10 quickly before we move to point number two. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Look up here, church. The preacher's job is not to preach a fun message, something to tickle your ears. Hopefully the message is interesting. Hopefully we find great joy in it because of our salvation. Amen? It is not my job to fill the pews. That's God's job. It is my job to fill the pulpit, to preach the truth of God's Word. I am not here to tickle the words of man. I am here to declare, thus saith the Lord. And that's why we insist that you have your Bibles open in front of us. So that if Pastor Larry strays off the truth, you can meet with me after church and say, Pastor, could you please explain what you said concerning this verse again? I am always happy to explain that. Amen? So first, Satan thought it. Second, God thought it. The second point today is that God thought it. Only God could come up with this. Amen? Look at verses 11 and 12. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Where did Paul receive the gospel message? He received it on the road to Damascus. You can read all about that over in the book of Acts. Chapters 7, 8, and 9 gives you that story. Paul is saying the gospel is not man's invention. He's saying, I didn't come up with this. This was completely God's idea. How can a righteous God receive sinful man, but through sending Himself to atone for the sins? Let me think about this. Let's think about this for just a second. Don't turn around and look. I'm going to embarrass her again. Ollie is now Stephen's fiance. When Stephen proposed this, do you think for one second that he told Jamie or Ivan or Tyler, do me a favor, go tell Ollie I love her and would she please be my fiance? Her answer would have been, no. When you love someone, you go yourself and say, I love you. And when we see Christ on the cross of Calvary, that is where God came down and said, I love you. I'm dying for you. Give God some praise in His house. Amen. That's good stuff, man. All right, man. Pastor, you're preaching now. This is completely God's idea. But you know what? We live in a world that lives by a philosophy called existentialism, where people don't believe God's given, stated, empirical truths. They look at the gospel and say, well, that may be true for you, but that's not what I get out of it. That is not my truth of what that passage says. You hear things like, look, just go to the church of your choice. In Steel Magnolias, now I love Dolly Parton. You know, she's a country girl, she's a great singer. But in the movie Steel Magnolias, that's right guys, I watched Steel Magnolias with my wife, get over it. Dolly, is the girl that's with her, goes to a Baptist church. And Dolly Parton's church wasn't a Baptist church. And she was questioning whether or not she should go to that church. And Dolly says, oh, God doesn't care where you go on Sunday. He just wants you to show up. Now, I love Dolly Parton, but that's straight from the pits of hell and smells like smoke. It does matter where you go to church. It matters that you go to a church where the gospel is the central focus of that church. You know what? Right is right. Amen? Paul is saying that the gospel didn't come from man. It is a revelation from God. Do you remember verses 8 and 9 that we read? Paul is saying, let's suppose an actual archangel, a bona fide, terrifying, sword in the hand, glowing, gleaming, brilliant, luminescent angel from heaven comes down and marched in here this morning. And suppose he said, people of Living Hope Church, the God of glory has sent me to this church today, and good news, you are the first people to learn that there's a new revelation, that there's a new message from heaven, that there is another gospel. Paul is saying, let that angel be anathema. There is no other gospel. Look at verse 8 again. He says, even if we or an angel. What does that mean? Paul is saying that, listen, if I, and it's what Pastor Larry says, if I were to come and say that there's a new gospel, let me, a preacher, or Paul speaking, let me, an apostle, be accursed of God and consigned to everlasting destruction. Listen closely, church, this is important. The messenger does not validate the message. The message validates the messenger. And God's canon is closed, and the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can you tell whether a preacher is a man of God? How can you tell whether a preacher is a man of God? Well, there's some things help, but there's some things that don't matter one bit on whether or not a person is a man of God. The number of degrees really doesn't matter. His credentials, his worldly credentials, really do not matter. His speaking ability does not matter. I happen to have a relatively clear voice, but I certainly do not have what I would call a great preaching voice. And the way you can know that is if you go listen to some of the great preachers. Dr. Adrian Rogers, brand new preacher. H.B. Charles from Shiloh Church in Jacksonville. You get a chance, go online and listen to that young man. Amazing African-American preacher. Preaches the gospel with strength and power. Credentials, degrees, speaking ability, those things are not important. If he doesn't speak the true gospel, none of that makes any difference. But if the man of God stands up and proclaims the truth, he's God's man. Because the gospel came from God, and man does not determine the gospel message. First we saw that Satan fought it. Then we saw that God fought it. Now, our third point, grace bought it. Grace bought it. Look again at verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ. We have been called to the grace of Christ. Let me share four quick things about the gospel. You can write these things in the margin, at the bottom somewhere. First, it's a seeking grace. A seeking grace. Verse 6 says that we are called by grace. Can you imagine that a completely holy God seeks out the completely rebellious sinner to extend grace and mercy and salvation? It is God that takes the initiative. It's God that seeks us out. Look down at a little further in this chapter. It's not on the screen. At verse 15. It says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace. How did Paul get into the ministry? By the grace of God. When did God call him? Before he was born in his mother's womb. Now, just so you don't think this is a special calling for Paul, Scripture says that God has placed eternity into our hearts. Scripture says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Scripture says that He has placed His grace and awareness of Himself in our hearts. We are born with that. We have to reject that and decide to turn away from that. God has given this calling in our lives. If you are sitting here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, that little pecking you feel in that heart, that's not Pastor Larry laying some guilt trip on you. That's the Holy Spirit of God touching your heart. Respond to it. If you're watching on the internet or a DVD, that's not us, that's not Living Hope Church that's doing anything special other than praying for you right this second that you receive Christ. That is the Holy Spirit of God at work in you to wake up what is already there. Salvation is all from God. It is a seeking grace. Do you know why you love God? Because He first loved you. Do you know why you were thirsty for Him? Because God made you thirsty for Him. 1 John 4:19 says that we love Him because He first loved us. I remember the first time I saw Miss Ruth Ann. Hallelujah, what a day that was. I was 16. She was 16. It had been set up for a blind date for that Saturday. But she's no dummy. She wanted to come see what this guy looked like. So I was bagging groceries in the shopping store, Truppiano's Supermarket back home. And I'm bagging groceries. And my sister-in-law, who had set up the date, said, "That's Ruth Ann." And I looked over, and she was standing, and you know, imagine that whole wall all glass, like supermarkets have. You guys know how supermarkets do that. And she was standing there in this little yellow sundress. The birds were singing. The skies were blue. My heart was about to jump out of its chest. And I said, "I'm going to marry that woman right there." Took a couple years to convince her of that. I jokingly tell Miss Ruth Ann that she loves me because I first love her. Setting that aside, trust me, folks, it was I that pursued her. I married way above my class. I can tell you that right now. So it's a seeking grace. Second, it is a saving grace. It is a saving grace. Write that in your margin. We should have this passage up on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast." The gospel is the good news, but it is the grace of God that saves me. I cannot do anything on my part but make a free will decision to receive Christ into my heart. That's the only part I play in this. God does all the work. Christ did all the salvation work on the cross. Here's the theme that we are acknowledging. We bring nothing to the table because Christ has done it all. He is sufficient. How do I know that? I'm so glad you asked. When Jesus died on the cross, John 19:30 records His last word, "It is finished." Those same words mean paid in full. Your salvation has been paid for. Aaron, your salvation has been paid for. Ollie, your salvation has been paid for. Marguerite, your salvation has been paid for. Everyone in here, whether you're saved or not, your salvation has been paid for. Everyone on the internet and watching a DVD or listening to a CD, your salvation has been paid for. All you need to do is receive the free gift of salvation. How simple is that? Receive Christ into your heart this day. See, I can... Amen. Give the Lord some applause there, man. How do I know that? Listen. First, it is a seeking grace. Second, it is a saving grace. Third, it is a securing grace. We recently went through a series titled God is Able. In Jude verse 24 says that God is able to keep me. In spite of my actions, God is able to keep me. And since God is able, that means infinitely able, that means eternally able, that means omnisciently, omnipresent, omnipowerfully able to keep me, it means that I am secure in my salvation. And the reason I can't lose my salvation, because I am saved by God's grace, not by my good deeds. If I were saved by my works, then I could definitely lose my salvation. I keep my salvation the same way I got it. By grace. Some people have the idea you're saved by grace and then you're kept by works. I point only to the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember this day. Remember me when you get to your home. Remember me in heaven." Jesus, what did Jesus tell him? "I tell you, this very day I will see you in paradise." That thief on that cross didn't have time to do anything. He didn't have time to go to church. He didn't have time to do good works. He didn't have time to, I hate the Baptist preacher saying this, to tithe. He didn't have time to go share the gospel. The only thing that he had to do was time to share the fact that he trusted Christ. And because of that single act, he will be in heaven. He is in heaven this very day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you a better example. Let's say you can't swim and you're drowning in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And a boat comes by and it's got an educator on it. A teacher. And he tosses you a book on swimming. Nice guy, huh? He might be a fine educator. That might be a great book. But buddy, all it's going to help you do is go down faster. You're drowning. Suppose he's a great lecturer. And so he gives you a wonderful lecture. You shouldn't be out here if you can't swim. Well, that doesn't help. Man, I'm drowning. That lecture does me no good. Suppose he jumps in the water. He says, "Do it like this." And he floats around. And he swims. And he swims this way and he swims that way. Meanwhile, you're going down for the third time. His good example is doing you no good. Christians, your good example is not you sharing the gospel. You share the gospel with your mouth. You go tell somebody about what Jesus Christ has done for you. But with your strength disappearing, going down to your death, unable to save yourself, he comes by, he graciously reaches down, grabs you by your hand, and pulls you up. Do you see what has happened? By His strength and His grace and His mercy, you are saved. You don't need an educator. You don't need a lecturer. You don't need a good example. You don't need a preacher. What you need to do is to be saved. We need a Savior and we need the grace of God. Amen? So, we had the seeking grace, the saving grace, the securing grace, and fourth, we're almost to the end here, be patient with me, and fourth is a surviving grace. Do you know what I'll be singing when I get to heaven? Amazing grace. On our screen we should have Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. Do we have that up there? Well, if not, let's turn to our left, to our right a few pages. I think it's two or three pages in your Bible. To Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. If you dare, say amen.
Amen.
That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come. The ages to come. I will be, for ages, I will be singing Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. That's our glorified body. Who's ready for a glorified body? Amen. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. What is it that God will show in ages to come? His incredible grace. Back to our main point. Satan fought it. God fought it. Grace bought it. But Christ wrought it. Christ wrought it. Look back over in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7, and if you would again, please. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel. The gospel centers on Christ. It doesn't mention Christ. It doesn't allude to Christ. It doesn't hint at Christ. The true gospel, when it is preached, has Jesus Christ as the main object. Salvation is not a creed about Christ. Salvation is not a code about Christ. Salvation is only found and only found in Jesus Christ. Listen, churches are full today of unsaved people that think they're going to heaven because they go to that church or they do a certain thing, or they show up, or do different things. You see, here's their problem. They have met church, and they've never met Christ. You must receive Jesus Christ. They know the plan of salvation, but they have never received the man of salvation. People have been told to live right and do better. People have enlisted in causes, and they might even feed the hungry. Those are all good works. But friends, they are completely unsaved. Because the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there is no other gospel. I don't know how many ways I need to say that, but there's only one way to say it. Salvation is found in none other but Jesus Christ. It is Jesus and Jesus only. And anything else has the curse of God on it. If you go to a church, if you're visiting today, if you're watching on the internet, watching on DVD or whatever, listening on a CD, if you are attending church and they give you anything else but Jesus Christ at the center of the gospel, get up and walk out. And that goes for Living Hope Church. If I ever change something like that, if you ever hear something like that, from you get up and declare the glory of God through Jesus Christ. God has one plan to come to Him, and one plan only to get to heaven. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." I say that every single week here. I'm going to say it one more time. Jesus Christ was asked, "How do we find our way to heaven?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." One of these days, every single person here, every single person I'm looking at right now, every one of these praise team singers and band players that are coming up now, every single person will die. And when we stand before God, and God asked, "Why should I let you into My heaven?" there is only one acceptable answer. I have repented of my sins and trusted the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Have you come to Christ through the gospel? Have you come to Christ through the gospel of Jesus Christ? I end as I began before we bow our heads. Grace and peace I extend to you from the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.